Hello, everybody. We are here with a quick word from our friends over at Newsly.
Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice.
For the first time in history of the internet, the web becomes listenable.
Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling. Start listening.
And they have podcasts as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 40 countries, and our podcast, We Are Marvel, is there too.
Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me or use the link in the description of this episode. To get a one-month free subscription, use the promo code MARVEL.
That's www.newsly.me. And don't forget, let them know that we sent you there by using the promo code MARVEL, M-A-R-V-E-L.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Are Marvel, where we explore all the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, and we are the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook group. Go give them a follow. And while you're there, go check out our page, We Are Marvel Pod. Throw a pod on there. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Justin.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Hello.
No guest this week, I know. Sad. We had one last episode, but we'll have another one next episode.
What? The hope and goal, and it's not going to happen every time because we're covering a lot of movies this year, but the hope is to get a guest for the movie episodes so that we can get an outsider's opinion on the movie, particularly when it's someone like Brandon, who he and I talked horror movies for several years together. You know, they have some kind of potential insights specific to the movie. Right. So it's not going to happen every time, but we're going to do our best.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to try and reach out to some other folks that you've never, that we've never had on. You might have to say you've never heard of, but maybe you have. I don't know. I don't know you. But yeah, we're going to.
I know you. I see you.
We're going to stretch our little grubby fingers out and see if we can get someone on. But like I said, thank you guys for joining us this episode. We really appreciate it. And this week we're going to be talking about essentially second chances for some characters. I don't know where I was going with that, but it is That's characters fine. That were on the screen once, they get a second chance in the actual MCU, and just kill it. Really,
that's right. Pretty so much. I mean, there are very. I was looking through the ones that for sure we're doing in this episode. We have a. There's a long list. There's a chance this might be a two-parter with a second part revisited down the line. There's only one that jumped out at me that I thought was done better before this.
Oh,
okay. Is their particular MCU appearance, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we're not going to do every character. Like, we're going to go into Spider-Man, but if we think about it, we can talk about Aunt May and MJ and all that stuff, but it's mostly like the main heroes, side heroes, villains, and go from there.
I like it. So with that, and like we started season four, we are now starting this with Howard the Duck.
Ugh. I think you said it wrong. It's Howard the Duck.
Oh, no. Don't get that stuck in my head again. I don't know if I told you or not, because I didn't want you to have the satisfaction, but I got that song stuck in my head after putting it on the show, and I hated you so much for it. Like, I wanted to tell you also I hate you, but I didn't because I just didn't want you to have that satisfaction. But here I am.
Well, if it helps you feel better, there was a guy at work who for a solid week would come up to me and go, Howard the Duck, and get it stuck in my head for a good half hour, so...
Great. It's lucky us. It's,
we all pay it forward.
We've actually we're gonna gotten kinda... some good feedback on that episode. But
well, that's good.
I don't like because I hated it. But I'm so glad you guys... I am glad you guys enjoyed it. We did have fun knocking on it. I hated watching it, though.
Well, it's, you know, we try and keep things positive around here. And honestly, we do like all of the Marvel movies, more or less. But it is fun to shit on stuff. Like, that was... One of my running jokes for Pod and Gore was talking about how much I hated Maximum Overdrive. You know, it's just kind of fun. And we have some hopes and potential plans for the end of the year with Howard the Duck that I'm excited for. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm excited for it. So we're going to kind of run through very briefly some of their film appearances here. Obviously, the seminal classic that is the 86 original film. And then he was in both Guardians of the Galaxy movies and then his heroic triumphant return in Endgame.
That's right.
I don't know if we want to pick a best appearance. I didn't think about that till now. Oh, yeah. That's not a terrible thought.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And I think we should probably point out, like, for especially for this one, if you didn't know where he was in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or 2, he was, I think, both of them, are they end credits?
No, the first one... You see him very briefly behind the collector, that's like right. faded out in one of his cages.
Right.
And then at the end of the film, it's the post credits where it's Seth Green and he's sipping the martini next to the dog.
Right.
Who's come back in the holiday special and will be in volume three.
That's right. Which is cool.
And then in volume two, he's at the bar at that place where the Ravagers are yucking it up.
Right.
And then, of course, he's in the final battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, as classic as the 86 version is... take away the optimum quality of that film. Just as a representation of the character, it kind of misses. Like, I haven't read a lot of Howard the Duck.
Right.
Really none. I do know that he is... like a private investigator. He's in kind of the Animal Avengers world and stuff with like Spider-Ham from Spider-Verse and all that stuff. Aside from him being from that duck planet, which I think might be true, like he didn't do anything in his movie that was like, I'm a PI, I have this like... Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe his kind of dickhead attitude is the same, but again, I've never read the book, so I'm not sure.
Right.
But when I think of Howard the Duck from the books, I would probably go with his appearance in Guardians 1.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the full-on suit. I don't remember if he had the hat or not. I don't think he did, but he was, sipping a martini, kind of wisecracks with Cosmo. That scene, that end credit scene, to me was like perfect Howard the Duck.
I agree. Like you said, I haven't read it or anything, but that just had the feeling of the right Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's because that's what I've seen most of him on screen as of, or before at least, was it a month ago or something?
Give or take. Because
before that, I've only heard of the movie, I've seen pictures, never watched it. So maybe that helps.
Now we've had
that
pleasure.
Pleasure for some, maybe. But I agree. That just that feels like the right-looking character. Mm-hmm. So I'll agree with you on that.
Well, let's go to a much better character and one of my personal favorites. Do you want to go back and forth?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. I think I announced all of his movies for Howard, but I can... It's my boy. I got the tattoo.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'll do it anyway. For those that don't know already, Captain America. They did some movie serials back in 1944. If you don't know what that is, go look it up. Essentially, they made shorts in the 40s. They did it with Batman, Superman, Cap. Those were pretty much the only superheroes around back then. Mm-hmm. And they were just like these short black and white films that they go on adventures on. I've never seen them, but I'd really like to.
Okay.
There were two films in the late 70s, 1979, with Reb Brown as Captain America. I own them, but have not seen them. If you ever want to see, I believe it's the second one, which is like the death of Captain America or something. He's wearing a motorcycle helmet has his cap helmet with the little wings painted on the sides, and he has a clear shield, which is really weird.
Oh, like his shield is clear, not just face shield? Like,
yeah, okay. That too. But
yeah. That's what I thought at first, and I was like, that's not that weird. Oh, wait. What would be weird is his actual
there's
shield.
There's red, and then there's, like, clear where the white is. Is clear.
Awesome.
And then there's the 90s film with Matt Salinger, which I have seen. Son of the author, Salinger. I don't remember his first name. I think it's J.D. Salinger.
How was that one?
It's 90s. It's very, like, we're close enough to the comics that it's fine. The suit looks, for the 90s, pretty great. It's a lot like the USO suit.
Okay.
But more form-fitting.
Okay.
Like, it looks like your classic 90s. I don't know if you've ever seen the 90s Flash TV show with John Wesley Shipp.
I've seen parts of it, yeah.
It's like that.
Okay.
But Captain America.
Just like a spandex-y suit kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And aside from the Red Skull being, I think, Italian-sounding-ish, but there is Nazi... it's fine. Like, I haven't seen it in years. There's a lot of him riding around in a truck. It's very boring, but for the 90s, it's whatever. And then, of course, obviously, we have the Chris Evans Captain America trilogy and the Avengers Azazes, which is how I'm going to say that the whole episode, unless I change my mind.
Okay. That's fair.
I have a tough one with this for Optimum Cap because they did it so well. Obviously, it's Chris Evans. But to pick the best representation of Chris Evans as what I would consider to be Cap and what you would consider to be Cap. Because there's no wrong answer, obviously.
No, I agree.
I mean, the 40s classic is wonderful. I actually just watched these over the weekend. They're my feel-good movies, and I needed it. So I watched the Cap movies and the Spider-Man trilogy.
Okay.
And which will help later on, by the way. I think when I was watching it, I was watching Winter Soldier, which is like one of the best movies the MCU has ever done. And I went, this to me is everything that made the Ed Brubaker run of Captain America work so well for me, which is what has heavily inspired the Chris Evans era. Like the Winter Soldier stuff happened in his run of the books. The Civil War stuff happened. Obviously different in the films, but to me, like, that kind of super spy versus spy, you know, super soldier working with SHIELD, undercover operative kind of stuff, like, that's what appealed to me most in Captain America and made me read the books, and that's why Winter Soldier is so great. So I think I will go with Winter Soldier.
Okay. Yeah, like you're saying, this is very tough. I don't know, I always get kind of drawn back to moments of seeing him on screen.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the thing in Endgame.
Yes, like. Exactly. The ending at the end. That, but even just before that, where he still gets up with a broken shield and just tightens it, it's still just him, and he's still ready. You know, like he's still not giving up. He can do this all day. That's one moment that kind of stands out. And, yeah, definitely him with the room, like, that's just iconic.
Yeah.
But also him when he was just scrawny little thing jumping on the grenade because he thought it was real. And that, like, that
still
is,
gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, right, like, now. Like, just thinking about it, it's like, it's such a huge moment. And it was, God, what a genius writing, like, to put that in the film. Because it does so much. It proves the point to not only the people on screen, but the people watching it. It's such a great moment. So,
well, and I said at the time, the moment when we first see Steve and he's in that waiting room and that dickhead guy is, you know, talking about all the people dying over there and kind of makes you think twice. And he goes, nope, and stands up and walks to the front of the line. That gives me goosebumps. And as soon as I saw that was my Chadwick first appearance in Civil War moment where I, like, they got it right. They encapsulated who that guy is in that moment.
Right.
And then doubled down with the grenade.
Yeah.
Like, oh. It's sad it's over because it's just so perfect.
I know, it's so good. But if I had to choose, I don't know. I'd go Endgame because he was great in that. It was just so many cool moments.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, that's when he is leader Cap. Like, he is the official leader of the Avengers.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, your turn.
All right, next we've got Nick Fury.
What?
So, good old Haas, David Hasselhoff, was Peter Quill's dad, if Peter had his way. He played Nick Fury in 1998. I've not seen anything of it aside from pictures.
I've seen it. It's just... It exists. I own it. It's called Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't remember which, but...
I love it.
It exists.
So good. And he was also in, obviously, The Avengers and multiple other things, you know, stingers and post-credits and all that kind of stuff. So he's been in
that,
a lot.
That scene in Iron Man still just makes me go, oh, they're doing Avengers.
At the end there and just, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which, another tangent here real quick. So we finally, I told you a while ago now, we were starting to watch all the movies in release order with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And we watched Captain America, and she asked, you know, well, what's the next one? And I showed her, I'm like, it's Avengers. It's like where they all get together. She was so excited for it.
Yes.
So I think it was a week ago. She woke up and came out to the living room with us and was like still like half asleep, was like, can we watch Avengers? And I'm like, yes. I'm so happy. I was like, yes,
I wish you had been recording that and we could use that as the beginning of each episode.
Oh, dude, that would be perfect. Oh, you're so right. But it was, oh man, such a good moment. And she loved it, of course.
Well, yeah. How do you not?
Like, I know.
It's funny, because my wife will ask me every once in a while, like, why I like that movie so much. And what I try and explain is, like, it's like the old corny, overly cheesy 90s comic book movies we grew up on, done in a modern, great way.
Yeah.
Like, it is corny and dumb, but that's the point. Like, it's so, like, I lost the word I want, but that just bright, colorful, shiny superhero that we knew and hated in the 90s, done with modern storytelling that just works perfectly.
It did, yeah. Yeah, and it was great. And yeah, she was so excited for the team up, and everybody was there. And I just kept thinking, like, just wait. Like, there's so many more.
You did Incredible Hulk, right?
Yes. Yep. Did Incredible Hulk. Yep. Sure. She liked her
big
boy.
They're not all on Disney Plus.
No, they're not. But yeah, I was able to still find it. And yeah. Good. So that was fun. But
favorite Nick Fury's tough. Obviously, Hasselhoff is up there.
Yes. Top two for sure.
I will say he did look a lot like him. I mean, I know it's not hard, but you know, when you picture classic original 70s Nick Fury, it's David Hasselhoff. It really is.
Fair.
And obviously the nice thing about Samuel Jackson is when they did the Ultimates version of him, it is literally based off of him.
Yes.
Like, it's cheating that he looks like him because he's supposed to.
Right. Yeah.
So there's that.
They drew him to look like him, not, oh, hey, he does look like him. Yeah. No, it's him in drawing form.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to Winter Soldier, though, because it's the one movie, and I'm hoping Secret Invasion will be the new front runner, but it's the only time we've really seen S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is how it operates, and this is how he operates in that operation, and... Like, he is this leader, but he's also under Robert Redford, and there's this whole... He gets to actually be a spy in that movie instead of just kind of the wacky sidekick that gets everybody together.
Right. No, I completely agree. I thought maybe Captain Marvel, but that's not the Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with Winter Soldier. That is top-notch Nick Fury. Just so cool with the not truck, SUV that he's driving, all the gadgets inside of it, the way he gets away, the way he's got
his little safe house almost. I mean, he's kind of a James
Bond. Like, yeah.
And in the comics, he was romancing ladies, and he was very much a James Bond. And then the MCU, he's not as such. But it's got everything as much as you can while keeping it in the reality they've established.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and I love it, yeah. His little bunker that he's got, like, all that stuff. It's like, yeah, this is the Nick Fury that is that spy type of character. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Sure. And just a little side note, which I think we've talked about this. Probably when
we know a lot of stuff, so probably
talked about the movie even. But his gravestone, because everyone else knows, as he dies, is a quote from the verse that he says from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
a little. I don't remember what. Not a prayer. It's just
it's a Bible verse.
Bible verse. That's the words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, the path of the righteous man. I love Tarantino and listen to. I don't know if Nerd's World is still a thing that you can listen to, but one of my episodes that I did before we ended was Tarantino. So
yeah.
Listen to me gush about Tarantino sometime. It's great. Next up, our favorite webhead who's been on screen probably more than almost anybody but Hulk, Spider-Man. So there was a live-action series, I want to say, in the 70s. And fun fact, I always forget, the guy in No Way Home at the end when Peter goes to potentially tell MJ what's going on.
Okay.
The old guy in the very back of the diner that's kind of kitty-cornered Ned, mm-hmm. is the actor. I can't remember his name, but he is the actor that played Spider-Man in that show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know that. Yeah.
I didn't either. We were watching it one day, and I think Lee was like, I wondered, like, who is that guy? And I was like, I don't know. And I looked it up and was like, that actually is Spider-Man from that show. But I've never seen it. It was made for TV. I've seen shots of it and, you know, clips in documentaries and stuff. It's 70s TV. It's not great. obviously, we have the Tobey trilogy, which had its moments. It was, I mean, that was our upbringing. Absolutely. Was the Tobey trilogy. I was in middle school-ish when the first one came out. Like, this movie was my life.
Yeah.
Like, the Andrew double up, which was, those existed.
The marketing for that was amazing.
Oh, like, yeah.
The trailer and just the look of it just looked particularly so the first cool. one. Yeah. It looked amazing. I was so excited for it. And then
amazing, you say? Like an amazing Spider-Man?
Yes. Yeah. You use like an accent when you said that? It sounded so weird. Like, amazing, you say?
Interesting.
Interesting, sir.
And then, of course, he made his grand MCU debut in Civil War. Mm-hmm. Had his own home trilogy. And then the assorted Avengerses that followed, which were only two of them so far.
Yes.
You know, it's tough because they all have something good. And I've said this forever. Ever since Holland showed up, it was like, Toby was the best Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. Andrew was the best Spider-Man, mm-hmm. but Tom is the best of both.
Yeah.
And all of them have their moments where I'm just like, oh, that is so Spider-Man. Oh, that is so Spider-Man. Like, a lot of them have a lot of that stuff, but not, like, him being in the neighborhood and all that stuff, and Homecoming was so great, and that low-level crime he did was so great. Like, that's what I think of as Spider-Man, but the science-y stuff that he does in Far From Home is very Spider-Man, and then you see him swing through downtown in New York at the end of No Way Home, it's like, that's very Spider-Man. Like, this one's tough. I'm going to have to think about it.
It is tough, and I'm back to it's tough to pick the movie. I got moments that I love, like you're listing off, but I don't know, like him getting stuck under all that rubble and just like almost like kind of looking at himself in the reflection in the water and that moment of, no, I am Spider-Man. I can do this. Like, that's so, like, it's a powerful moment. It's awesome. It's a turning point.
Well, it's from the books. I mean, he was in suit in the comics, but that's a comic cover of him pushing himself up from the rubble.
Yeah, that's right. I think we should either share being stuck under that. Yeah.
So, I have to pick a whole movie, I think I'm going to go with Homecoming.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning.
It's tough, but I mean, the way it establishes his school life, mm-hmm. which isn't really touched on in any of the others, his relationship with Aunt May, which I love Marissa Tomei. She's just fantastic. I think Rosemary Harris from the Tobey trilogy is probably the most Aunt May, like classic Aunt May.
Yeah.
Because that's what she is in the books, but I like Marissa Tomei's better just as a character.
Right.
But I think I have to go home. Like, the way they handle Vulture, the way they handle his having to juggle life, which doesn't really happen in the other ones as much. That to me says the most. Like, when I saw that movie, I was like, this reminds me of reading a Spider-Man comic book.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. That's the one. I mean, it is tough. The others are you know, right behind, but that's the one where, yeah, we really got to see this new Spider-Man, and he was great. The Spider-Man was great. The Peter Parker was great. So I completely agree. That's the one. It's the winner.
It is decided. All right, now we're going to do some of his villains, and depending on how long that takes, we'll see if we can get into some other stuff.
Yeah, but to start that off, we've got the Green Goblin. First appearance, Spider-Man in 2002, and of course in No Way Home.
Which I also went, I didn't put in, because obviously we had the Harry Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
Harry Goblin in Spider-Man 3 and in Amazing Spider-Man 2. But they haven't been in the MCU yet. Aw, so tough shit.
You said yet. Does that mean we're going to? Is that confirmed?
No. And no.
Damn.
I love the O2. I mean, it's the same guy, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we're especially with the No Way Home stuff, which is pretty much all of these ones that we're going to be talking about, because none of the other MCU spider villains had appeared in any other Spider-Man movie. That was the point. Right. Of choosing them in the first place. They spent more time with him. You know?
Okay.
So you got to see that Norman change.
Right, yeah. Because, you got to see Norman and his... Him just being Norman Osborn. And then, that changed. You're right.
So, it's tough. Because when he makes that turn... I watched this yesterday. When he makes that turn in the apartment...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here he is. And from there on out, which is like two more scenes in the movie, technically, it's just fantastic. Because they have the fight in the apartment, and then he shows up at the end at the Statue of Liberty, and they fight again there, and that's it. I'm going to have to go with O2.
Okay.
Because you spend so much more time with him. You see him as that ruthless businessman who's willing to go that extra mile and do the serum. And everything that felt like, as corny Power Ranger-y as that suit was, and I would say for the look, it's No Way Home, because that's perfect.
Right.
Of taking that stupid suit and making it work and actually using Willem Dafoe's face, which they should have done in the first place.
I know.
But, for personality, I think it's O2 for me.
Okay. I mean, you're not wrong, but I would just go with No Way Home. Just because of that twist, because he's evil. Well, most people know he's evil, and so when he comes out and he's kind of this almost innocent-looking guy, it's like, oh man, okay, this isn't the crazy changed one. But then you're right, that moment when he does change and using the face and the strength and all that stuff, it's amazing. It's like it's perfect almost. So I'd have to go with that.
You can say it's spectacular. Oh, I'd say it's that.
Oh, that is so good. I mean, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
So I would pick on
trying to think of other, you could say it's the ultimate Spider-Man. You know, that's what you could say.
Oh, yikes.
Next up is Doc Ock, Mr. Alfred Molina from Spider-Man 2 in 2004. And then, of course, again in No Way Home. In 02, or 04 rather, like, that is great. And again, it's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So these are tough. And by the way, the Green Goblin was not the one I expected picking the first one. I'll just say that right now. That was in the moment there.
Nice.
Doc Ock's tough. Because in Spider-Man 2, like, it's tough because they're more fleshed out. You get their backstory. You get... Like, in the comics, I don't remember if he had a wife. In the comics, he actually ended up marrying Aunt May almost, briefly. But you get his science background, you get all of that stuff. And that scene in the hospital is so Sam Raimi, when the tentacles come to life and kill the doctors.
Right.
That, still so fucking cool. But then, No Way Home, he has that redemption, like he kind of did in Spider-Man 2. Right. Like, he starts out crazy scientist, where's my machine? Still gives me goosebumps, even though anyone who hasn't seen those movies will have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when he gets the chip, like, I still get goosebumps when he has that, like, the voices are gone. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. Like, for anyone who grew up watching that movie when it came out in theaters, that moment where he's like, the voices are gone, we know what that means. And it's just so fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, this one's tough.
I'll go. Because it's the same. You'll give it a little more time. I would pick probably 04. And just, I guess it's for the reasons that you said for Green Goblin, was you get more of him. And, and you get that, I guess you get the change from a who you think is a good guy to the villain. So, I mean, I guess that worked more for me. It just seemed more like, if we're going Doc Ock, the villain, I would have to go with 04. Yeah.
That's fair. And him trying to remake it. I might have just made it
worse for you.
Yeah, you did. Because the only thing that makes me lean a little more towards No Way Home is the action. Like, they were limited by the times of what they could accomplish, and they did. They accomplished a lot of great stuff, but that bridge fight is just classic, that cool Spider-Man versus Doc Ock. I think I will agree with you, though, simply because, like, his passion for science. That, you know, thinking about the animated series, because I grew up on that and loved it. It's why I love Spider-Man so much. Like, his constant pursuit of science and using science and doing all that stuff. Like, that is so Doc Ock to me. And so I would have to... I'll agree with you. Because, again, you get more.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the sound of that. I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm amazed, like, because our next one, I think, is going to be the same. And there's only... There's only one of these that I think they actually did better in No Way Home, and we'll get there.
Okay, you're right, we will. But yeah, until then, we're going to go with Sandman. So we got him in Spider-Man 3, which was in 2007, and then again in No Way Home.
Boom!
I think this song. One's
What's on
almost,
your hand?
Oh, it's a stamp from my daughter's basketball game today.
Okay.
USA.
I was like, why does it say USA on your hand?
I don't know.
You're just excited to talk about Captain America. And
I love the USA.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Red Skull. Hugo Weaving's is better.
Oh, yes.
The one in the 90s is just terrible. And Endgame was fine, but whatever.
Yeah. It's Hugo Weaving. Do we need to say more? Right. Well, I guess we could say, if you're saying Red Skull, then we could also have picked
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
Or Endgame.
I don't remember the actor's name.
It's Ross Marquardt. He was in Walking Dead.
I mean, I definitely give him props for doing such a great job. Like, there are people out there that don't know
I thought
him.
For a brief moment that they actually got him back.
Yeah, he sounds great.
Yeah.
But and he almost looks cooler, just almost floating around like a goblin. Not a green one.
A green goblin? I would say more like a Grim Reaper or something, but I'll give you.
That's much better, actually.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, Sandman.
Yes, back to Sandman. It's definitely the 07. We just didn't really get anything from this No Way Home one, which is fine.
Yeah,
there's a lot more going on. There was so much going on, so it's fine.
And we didn't even actually see Thomas Hayden Church in this, and the time that we did is actual technically footage from 07.
Right.
Same with Lizard, which we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Did we get a little bit of him, of at least the sand forming in the shape of him? Do I remember that correctly?
It was no. It was
not
all
even that?
No. It was all sand creature.
And
I want to say it's because of COVID, because that's when this was filming, that he just couldn't make it or whatever, or didn't want to. But he did the voice and everything. But yeah, he was in sand form until the end, and that scene where he's coming away from being Sandman is actually a scene from like when he's turning into mud because evil Spider-Man has put him into the sewer and gotten him all wet, so he's like muddying up and washing. Literally, yeah, he's washing away in that moment, not rebuilding, which is pretty cool. Yeah, Sandman's a tough character because he's very one-dimensional honestly. Like, he got sand powers in an accident and started committing crimes. They added the daughter stuff and didn't do it incredibly well. But you do get more. And again, that scene where he forms for the first time is still, I've said it probably a couple dozen times even on this show, but is one of the coolest moments in a comic book movie.
Like, fair.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Some would say amazing. Speaking of amazing.
Oh.
Electro, Mr. Jamie Foxx from Amazing Spider-Man number 2 in 2014, and then in No Way Home. This one I'm going to give to No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's actually cool.
I know it's shocking. Electro.
So yeah. I did it too. Shockery shocks people.
Yeah, I just can't handle that nerdy. And it's not that he's nerdy. It's a fake, this is how they did nerdy back in the day nerdy.
Yeah.
Like Peter Parker himself is a nerd, okay? Mm-hmm. I think probably self-proclaimed. But
yeah,
they did different with Electro, where it's that greasy-haired, thick sunglasses, can't even function as an adult because he's just too fumbly and bumbly.
Yeah.
I don't know what the plan was there. And I can't believe Jamie Foxx signed off on this.
Yeah. I mean, I get wanting this guy. Yeah, I get trying to stretch and do something different. And he did a fine job with what they gave him, but what they gave him was stupid. And as far as the comics go, like, neither of them are accurate, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, neither of them are good in that respect. But at least in this, in No Way Home, he's frightening. Like, he's actually intimidating. Mm-hmm. They found a way to be like, oh, it's different kinds of electricity. So instead of being blue, now he's actually yellow like he should be. And they found a way to give him the cool headpiece thing, even though it was made out of electricity. But it was still fucking amazing looking.
It was.
Like, and I will say, the ending of Amazing Spider-Man 2 is great. It almost makes up for how shitty that movie is, but it still doesn't. Like, when they're fighting in that electric plant thing, that's really cool.
Yeah.
The fact that he plays Itsy-Bitsy Spider with the electricity is not so cool.
He's but, a spider.
Oh, yeah. Now I get it.
Now I get it. It clicked, finally.
God, should have known. It's just better. And they even say it in the movie. Like, oh, you don't have glasses and a bad comb over. Oh. Yeah. And bad teeth. I do love
that they pointed it out.
That's, yeah. You don't look like a complete dope for no reason.
So good. But yes, yeah. No, I agree. I don't know if I agreed with you or not, but yes, I agree. No Way Home. I just didn't like the way they portrayed him and they fixed it. It's amazing that they were able to fix it and nobody was like, can't believe they did that. I don't think anybody was disappointed.
No, everyone was like, this was the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely, No Way Home is the better version there.
Yeah.
All right, next one we've got
last one in the spider family.
Yes, Lizard. I don't have a clever thing for this one. So he was in Amazing Spider-Man in 2012 and No Way Home.
Yeah. This is the one that I knew initially was going to be the original.
Yeah.
Because they did nothing with Lizard in this movie. Like, no. He was funny in No Way Home, but that's about it.
Yeah. That, and then he got punched because there was that scene where, from the trailer, where it showed just one Peter, one Spider-Man, and then when you see it in the actual movie, it's all three of them. That's the only other thing like that I remember vividly from him in this movie. So if that's it, like, there's not much him in the cage. Like, I don't remember a lot of other scenes because there wasn't much. So yes.
Yeah, I mean, most of it, like, he was in the truck to save money, I guess, when they were at the apartment.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a big dinosaur, man. Like, that's the hardest one to get through the lobby, honestly.
Yeah. Like, you gotta wait in the car.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just like the others, like, they gave him a backstory. They made him more like he is in the books, and you get the Kirk Connors of it all. Like, the only upside is his desire to turn everyone into lizards, but he had that in his movie, and it was, I hate to say, done better. Like, as much as I don't like the Amazing Spider-Mans, like what they did with Lizard, who is one of my favorite Spider-Man villains, they did right. Like, that's the part that works in that movie for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I agree. The Amazing Spider-Man version is the better version.
Yeah,
but for sure. But like with all the others, I was so glad that they were able to bring them into No Way Home. It was just so cool to have them in there. Just, man, that movie was so cool.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday, and I was just like, God, it's still so just fantastic to see.
A lot of these I'm trying to wait until they're coming up to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I still might do, and I'm getting to rewatch these again with my daughter, which is fun. But
yeah.
Man, we gotta wait a while for this one. we're not smashing through these like you are multiple a day. We usually just one a week, maybe. So,
Well, pump up the volume, man.
I know. I need to.
You got shows to watch too. Like, there's no shortage of content.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's a very fair point.
All right, one of my favorite characters ever, Daredevil. He's fantastic, and I love him and all the stuff. He was in Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which was a TV movie in 89, played by Rick Smith. It's fine. Like,
okay.
It looks like the suit, his black suit from the Netflix show, which is from the books, so it's like, it's kind of works. It's fine. It's just okay. A very TV movie version of that. And then, gotcha. Of course, we have the O3 with the Affleck, which I like. And we're going to talk about it here in a couple months, and I'm going to tell you why I like it so much. And watch the director's cut.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll be able to, Jeremy. It is on Vudu to watch or rent or buy, and I own the Blu-ray. Like, it's so much better. It's a very early 2000s superhero movie. Everyone's in leather because you have to.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that with our next movie. But it is a good, solid movie. It is a fair representation of who Daredevil is as a character. And to lump that all into one movie, they actually did a solid job with it as much as you can, as opposed to a Netflix show where you can, tell 13-plus stories with them. And then, of course, there's the Charlie Cox Netflix version, and which is fantastic for all of the reasons. And then, of course, we have the MCU version, which is his shot in No Way Home and She-Hulk, which was fantastic.
Right. Yes, I agree.
I'm going to go Netflix.
Okay.
Especially season one.
Yeah.
It is so perfect, Daredevil. I can barely stand it. Like... his voice, his mannerisms, the way he fights, his relationship with Kingpin, like all of that is just perfect Daredevil.
Yeah.
And obviously Charlie Cox is amazing, but he's, Daredevil in the second half of these things. So.
Yeah. I think I would have to agree. But I will say I have definitely enjoyed him in the MCU, which is great. It is slightly different. I think he's. And I think this is a thing that they've said. He will be kind of toned down as far as violence goes.
Yeah. He's a little more lighthearted so far.
Yeah. But I've enjoyed him so far. Being the lawyer, cashing the brick because I'm a really good lawyer. The line was great. Mm-hmm. He was great in She-Hulk. He's still able to fight and looks amazing. But I think you're right. The Daredevil, and especially season one, where he was just ruthless and really becoming Daredevil. It was so cool to see. Mm-hmm. And just the hallway fights were amazing. Like, it's like a whole thing now. Like, you can say the hallway fights and you know what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Because they did one in She-Hulk. Like,
it's a thing. It's amazing. And yeah, you're right. Charlie Cox is amazing at this. And to get him back is just like
so
great. So I agree, though. Daredevil 03 Netflix. Or sorry, Daredevil Netflix, not 03. Sorry. Yeah. Although I haven't seen the director's cut, so that may change later.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There we go. All right, let's move on to, I was going to say some of his villains, but not really. One of them right now.
Kingpin. I didn't put Bullseye on here. I kind of forgot to.
Did we get?
I thought he was in season 3, technically, as Poindexter. I don't remember his first name. That is his actual last name, is Poindexter.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the one that ends up like dressing up as Daredevil and killing people to like besmirch Daredevil's name.
Okay.
And they have that. It's an amazing fight. I think from character standpoint, I would go the Netflix version, but technically that's not MCU, so
yeah,
that's why I didn't. So there
I
you go.
That's what I thought, but
obviously
I didn't even remember him in Netflix. So, anyways, back to Kingpin though. We had him in the Trial of Hulk in 1989. This was played by John Rhys-Davies, right? Rhys?
Yeah, I think so. That? I don't remember it much. Like, he was just a scary guy behind a desk. Like,
yeah,
I know you haven't even seen it, so.
Nah.
It's fine.
And then we had him in Daredevil in 2003, played by...
Michael Clark Duncan. Colin. The late, great Michael Clark Duncan.
That's right.
He was fantastic. Yeah.
I forgot he did.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other deep-voiced character person?
Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, yes. We've got the meats.
Arby's.
Arby's, exactly.
Arby's and Mission Impossible.
No, just Arby's. That's all I'm a fan of. Not so much the restaurant, just the commercials.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I like the fries.
Yeah.
I like what he did with it. Like, he really... I love D'Onofrio, and obviously we're probably going to pick one of the versions of D'Onofrio here, but, like, it's pretty spot on. Like, he's super ruthless. He's already established himself as this big-ass crime boss, literally and figuratively. He's super strong, just tossing Affleck around the room. Like, his voice and his presence are like, yeah, this guy could be Kingpin.
That's fair.
Like,
I'll give you that, yeah.
If they hadn't been able to flesh out D'Onofrio so well in Netflix and then upgrade his power so much in Hawkeye to where it actually should be to be comic accurate, I would probably go with Michael Clark Duncan. Because, like, he has the presence. Like, D'Onofrio builds up to it, but he's kind of weenie in the beginning, and then gets more horrible as the show goes. Whereas, I mean, Duncan was a huge freaking guy. Like, that was his whole shtick in Green Mile. Like, he walks into a room and you go, oh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you say, sir.
Yeah, damn, you huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, though. I think that's a fair argument. If it wasn't for D'Onofrio... I guess that's a kind of a cop out. Like, if it wasn't for D'Onofrio, the only other one is that one, because nobody remembers John Rhys-Davies. But D'Onofrio is the Kingpin. Like, if you say Kingpin, I think D'Onofrio in that white suit. Like, it's spot on. So I would go Netflix for that. I like him in Hawkeye. I'm excited to see him more in the MCU. But but that Netflix D'Onofrio Kingpin that's the one I think of when I think Kingpin.
Yeah. And he's not really in season two much. Three, I'm trying to remember what he was like in three. I like how systematic he is in season three, from what I remember of it, of trying to legit take Daredevil down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems more comic booky, arch villainy.
Yeah.
But I think he's a little more interesting in season one. Because you're getting to know him and see his rise and see how ruthless he's willing to be to get to where he needs to be. Like, he's scarier in season one.
Yeah, because I think if I remember right, he kind of just seems like he's this kind of just a businessman and no big deal. Like, he's not a big, tough guy. There's almost like this tension, but it's not until the car door scene where it's like, oh, dang, this is Kingpin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would pick. Did you also pick that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just double checking.
Yeah. I just kind of realized I'm breaking my own rules with a couple of these too. Because we're now going to count the Netflix ones as MCU.
That's right. I noticed that too.
Yeah. I just forgot Bullseye, honestly. That's actually fine. Happened here. But we have Elektra, who was in Daredevil 2003 and Elektra 2005, both with Jennifer Garner. is quite lovely. And then, of course, the Netflix version. And I don't know how to say her name correctly, so I'm not going to try.
Okay.
I would probably go, because there was season two of Daredevil. And then, of course, there was the one that we try and forget, Defenders.
Oh, right.
I would, and it's got to be Daredevil season two. I mean, the backstory they do in that one episode is straight out of Frank Miller.
Okay.
Even with stealing the car and that stuff, like, it's very straight out of that book. Obviously, some stuff changed. I don't think they hunted down the mobster that killed Matt's dad, but
okay,
she has that badass, like, assassin vibe where you could see that she would kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jennifer Garner was on Alias, but, like, she's so sweet looking, like, and sweet character wise and everything else, that it's like, I don't think you kill people on the weekends. Right. Like, you look great, and dude, you know, the flips and everything, she did really well with the size and with those bags of sand and stuff, listening to Evanescence.
Oh, God,
but, like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Evanescence.
Hey, just totally wake me up and wake me up inside, Jeremy. Just wake me up inside, okay? It's a great soundtrack. It's classic. It's got to be season two Daredevil, though. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You definitely nailed it. It is. She did such a great job. It was a great casting. She does. She has that look of, like, almost a mysterious person that might. Yeah, might do that on the side on the weekends. And you're right, mm-hmm. Jennifer Garner is not. She's a great actress, just not for Elektra, not that role. So I would agree. The Netflix version is the one, for sure.
All right,
I already know my answer for Punisher, but let's go through the list. We had 1989. Whoa.
We have what?
I don't know. I was saying two sentences at the exact same time.
That's impressive.
We had in 1989 Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, that Dolph Lundgren. It's rough. What's weird about it, like, as a Punisher movie, it's fine, I guess, but he doesn't talk throughout most of the movie. I understand why, but it's just like so much of it is him just standing there and staring at the screen and staring at people. Like, the fights are cool. The backstory's not bad. If I remember correctly, it's been a long time since I've watched it. And for some reason, it was made for TV, so we skipped it in our post-Howard the Duck world.
Darn.
Yeah, no. Or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. It didn't show up in the theatrical released things, but it's very much an R-rated movie, so I don't know. But we're not doing it this season, at least.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. And I think if Dolph Lundgren had been anyone else, like someone who could act like the rest of these guys, it actually would be fine for an 80s Punisher movie. Like, it's all right.
Okay.
It's a bad movie, but it's serviceable.
Yeah.
It's not Howard the Duck.
No. I got a fun fact about Dolph Lundgren. Well, fun for me and you, maybe, because we're Washingtonians. I think he did some college at WSU.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if he dies, he dies. It's the only thing I remember about his lines.
Okay.
And in 2004, we had Thomas Jane's version of The Punisher.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah, it's actually not too bad. That's the one with
Travolta and Rebecca Romijn and Ben Foster. Yeah,
Ben Foster, that's the one I was looking for.
He's great.
He is great. I need to see him in more things. Sure. It's been a while. I can't think of the last movie that he's been in.
I don't know. I was thinking about him the other day. I was like, God, he was so underused in X-Men 3, but in this, he's great. In 310 to Yuma, he's great.
Oh, like, man, he's so good.
I miss him, wherever he may be.
We had Punisher Warzone in 2008, played by Ray Stevenson.
And it was What's-His-Face from Thor, the big Volstagg. Same guy.
Is it?
The big guy with the... Yeah. And this, to me, is a Toby Andrew issue, where it's like, Thomas Jane, to me, is a perfect Frank Castle pre the horrible incident. Mm-hmm. Ray Stevenson is a perfect Frank Castle post the incident where he is just the Punisher.
Right. Have we talked about this before? Because this sounds familiar.
I don't know. I say a lot of stuff all the time.
I think we might have mentioned it on our on the episode with Brandon on with Blade. That was last episode then, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we, I don't know why. I don't know how we got to Punisher, but I think we did.
Because he's great.
You're right. And he was the best in the Netflix version, which is the most recent and my favorite. John Bernthal as Frank Castle and Punisher.
Yeah.
Is amazing. I love it. Like, he's a great actor. But this is like,
I need to rewatch that.
He was
that
made
show.
For
it's
this
so
role.
Fucking good. Yeah. I really hope they get him back and that he's in Born Again.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah.
I know he said things like if they're going to not dumb it down, but
yeah.
I guess unbrutalize it, make it not as violent. He's kind of mm-hmm. said he's not interested. Yeah. But come on, man. You know you're perfect.
Just
right?
do it.
I know you're saying that to get paid more. Just pay the man.
Yeah. He's just fantastic. I would go probably season one more so. It's a little more raw. He's a little more brutal. He's working with Micro, which was really cool for me. That's a classic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's in the Spider-Man animated series. It was in Warzone, played by Wayne Knight. I think that's where it came from. I was talking about Wayne Knight.
I think so. Because now I'm remembering Brandon going, Rick!
Yeah.
Rick! I don't
remember. Oh, yeah, Rick! There's a Shining callback.
So, yeah, that has to be from.
Yeah. Yeah, that was from that. Yeah. It and yeah, for me, it's season one Netflix Punisher show. He was great in Daredevil season two. He was great in season two of Punisher as well. But, like, it just had all of the classic Punisher tropes for me in season one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great, and I loved it. Yeah, it was awesome. He did great.
Last one we're going to do for this one. The rest will be saved for part two, even though it's going to be considerably shorter. We might have to find some more names to add or even not do a part two. Who knows? Is Jigsaw from 2008 Warzone, played by Dominic West, and then Netflix season two, played by Ben Barnes. Mm-hmm. It's tough because I think Dominic West looked more like Jigsaw from the books, like they did up his face and it looked like the comics. That's the one thing about Warzone that I enjoy, is that it is, of the movies, the most comic booky.
Right.
But Ben Barnes made him a character, not a caricature.
Okay.
Like, Dominic West, he was very just out there, like swinging for the fences kind of acting, and it didn't always work. Whereas what they did in the show made him more interesting. You got him in season one, seeing that transition, him sliding his face against the fucking carousel thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then his kind of descent into madness during season two was just fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's the one Netflix version. I don't remember, and that might be why I don't remember a lot of the Warzone one, but...
Hmm.
But yeah,
it was very zany.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Netflix version is the one I'd pick. And yeah, you're right. That scene was so brutal, and we had more time. I feel like I don't remember it a lot, but we had time to at least get invested in this character. Yeah. And I think that helped a lot too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We've already run long enough. Obviously there's a bunch we haven't hit, like the Hulks, which is kind of what I was kind of hoping to get to, but we need to get the frick out of Frack, so.
That's right, so we'll wrap it up here. But if you guys want to tell us your opinions on the list that we gave out so far, if you want to send in the ones that we missed, maybe they're not on our list, so send in what you've got. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to reach out for any reason, go ahead. You can go to our website, wearemarvelpod.com, or email us, wearemarvelpod@gmail.com, or find us on social media, wearemarvelpod. And you can go to the website and click on the merchandise link. That'll get you over to our merchandise page where you can get stickers or mugs or pillows or binders, folders, all that kind of stuff. But for next week, which I forgot to mention, but I'm doing it now. So did I forget?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We are going to be doing another movie. And we are going all the way to, was it 2000 it came out?
Mm-hmm.
all the way to 2000, in the year 2000. Oh, that's, I'm dating myself there.
Well, we're gonna talk about. That sounds like a lovely time for you. Let's go to a movie, have a nice dinner. Yes.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be doing X-Men. Came out in 2000. Yeah. We're gonna have a guest on, like I mentioned earlier, and that guest is from the Neutral Ground Podcast.
Yes.
Doctor. We've had him on before, so you know him. But Dr. Mm-hmm. Joe Mayer.
Yes, we had him on. I'm looking to see when that was. It was way back in the before four times. I'm seeing if I can find it.
Yeah, that
but was I mean, a I think it was season one, I think. I'm still. There it is right there. It was season two, episode two.
Oh, nice.
Our interview with Joe Mayer. But it was over, you know, a year ago or so. So I've been trying to find a way to get this guy back on since then because I love that episode so much. I'm real excited to have him on. And it sounds like he wants to do a couple movies with us, which is awesome.
Yeah, so this will be the first of more.
At least two.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this should
hopefully you'll have a good enough time. We'll get him on a couple more by the end of the year.
Yeah, I hope so. But yes, definitely check that out. Next episode, X-Men with special guest, Dr. Joe Mayer.
Yes.
But until then, reach out, everyone. We thank you for listening. And I have been Jeremy.
And I've been Justin.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.